from the halls of every school in Michigan. This is School Talks on 760 WJR with Dr. Robert Livernoy. Sponsored by Wakely Associates, Plant Moran Real Point, Collins and Plaha, O'Reilly Rancilio PC Attorneys at Law, and by Clark Construction. Now take your seats. Class is in session. Here's Robert.
This week on School Talks, we have dedicated the entire program to one of the hottest topics in education, artificial intelligence. We will hear from superintendents across the state, as well as Dr. Sean Bishop, Associate Executive Director for the Michigan Association of School Administrators, Chippewa Valley Schools Director of Technology, Sarah Monier-White, and direct from the classroom, John Horton from Bentley Schools. All this and more coming up. This is School Talks on 760 WJR.
This is School Talks on WJR with Dr. Robert Livernoy.
Recently, I had the opportunity to attend the annual fall conference for the Michigan Association of School Administrators, which we know as MASA. And one of the hottest topics right now in education is artificial intelligence. And like many advances in technology, things are moving rapidly. And as some of you Star Trek fans might say, it's moving at warp speed. For our School Talks listeners, MASA is an outstanding organization that supports superintendents across the state of Michigan. Led by Executive Director Dr. Tina Kerr, MASA serves superintendents and central office administrators in more than 600 public school districts and intermediate school districts across the state. They provide just-in-time services, including technical and legal support, advocacy efforts, publications and resources, and like this fall conference I attended, professional development opportunities for educators. Above all, they are a really important conduit for superintendents who are on the front lines of education supporting students and families. For context, about 18% of Michigan children are living in poverty, which creates extraordinary challenges at the schoolhouse door. Be it a lack of food, resources, or basic necessities, these children are in our schools, managed by superintendents, and an organization like MASA is vitally important to the success of our schools and the people who serve them. But at this fall conference, I had the opportunity to speak with several superintendents about artificial intelligence and how transformational it has become in teaching and learning. Current MASA President Katie Zenikis-Mikowski, who's superintendent of Johannesburg-Lewiston Schools, had this to say.
I was at a great session on AI and how AI tools are changing the face of learning and how we can teach students how to use them and use them appropriately and how they can make education more engaging.
I also had the opportunity to ask her how she might approach a group of educators who are reluctant to embrace artificial intelligence.
I think part of it is that you have to let them know that it's not just one more thing. There's something about it that's going to make their lives easier, because in education it always feels like everything is getting piled on top, and sometimes we have to take things off that. You can't just keep adding.
I also spoke to Steve Lotch, superintendent of Saline Schools, who echoed these sentiments as well.
AI is a tool that is really important for our students, and we do need to be teaching that. In addition, we need to be showing our teachers how they are able to use these tools to be able to better support learning so they have more time to personalize learning. And I'll give you an example. In Saline, we use a tool called Brisk Teaching. And ultimately, what it allows teachers to do is submit a student essay, an English class at high school. And it will score it, and it will do a really good job scoring it. And then it will give the teachers five things that the students need to work on. And then that'll free up the teacher to actually conference one-on-one with the student versus spending, you know, 4, 6, 8 hours grading papers. And in essence, that's what we want, more personalized approach to learning. AI can provide that if we leverage it the right way.
And in my conversations with teachers, a consistent theme has been that students will somehow use artificial intelligence to cheat or maybe even do the work for them. Superintendent Lotch goes on to add this critically important perspective about cheating.
Where students would copy and paste a prompt in and say, write my whole paper. But there are lots of tools that allow you to see that they're not doing that, where they chronicle what the students have entered and the steps they're taking. And if you do allow AI to provide the supports, we want teachers to feel that it's a good tool for learning and frees them up time so that they can provide more conferencing and support, because we always hear that teachers want more time to individualize instruction. AI can provide that if we allow it to.
In my conversations with these superintendents, one thing became very clear to me, and that is, despite the advances in technology, there still remains what I think we would call technology holdouts. In fact, you may know someone in your life who still does not have an iPhone or some type of smartphone. They may still have the old-fashioned flip phone. And by definition, from a technology perspective, they would probably be classified as a holdout. And in my conversation with Flint School Superintendent Kevlin Jones, he really gives us a nice perspective on what artificial intelligence has done and how we really need to get on board with it, especially from an education perspective.
It is time for us to accept that AI is here and begin to build an infrastructure with our staff and our scholars and students to just learn how to use it. You know, many people are shying away and saying, no, I don't want to learn anything else. No, we're fine just the way we are. Well, the bottom line is AI is here. So you might as well get teachers professional development and begin to implement it into your instruction so that the students can get comfortable with understanding the positives of it instead of using it to cheat or anything like that. Teach them how to use it and then navigate that process.
Coming up next on School Talks, we have Dr. Sean Bishop, Associate Executive Director of the Michigan Association of School Administrators, and the guy everyone's talking about in Michigan as it relates to artificial intelligence. If not from me, here's what Superintendent Andrea Tuttle from Grosse Pointe Schools had to say about Sean's presentation at the fall conference.
The AI artificial intelligence session conducted by Dr. Sean Bishop was outstanding, and as an educational leader, showing all of us how to lead into the future and the capabilities that our students have for learning and growing and developing, and that we need to be progressive leaders and understand the capabilities that are available to our students and make sure that the educational opportunities we provide them match the needs of the world today.
Coming up after a word from our sponsors, we will have Dr. Sean Bishop joining us on School Talks. This is 760 WJR.
This is School Talks on WJR with Dr. Robert Livernoy, sponsored by Wakely Associates, Plant Moran Real Point, Collins and Blaha, O'Reilly Rancilio PC Attorneys at Law, and by Clark Construction. Once again at the head of the class, Dr. Livernoy.
Joining us on the program now is Sean Bishop, Associate Executive Director for the Michigan Association of School Administrators. Sean has more than two decades of experience in education. He's held pivotal roles like superintendent, principal, curriculum director, and he's even worked in special education and preschool programs. And his recent work, however, has focused on artificial intelligence and its impact on schools. And I've had the privilege to see Sean present on a couple of occasions, and how he helps people think through artificial intelligence is remarkable. So welcome to the program, Sean.
Hi, thanks. Thanks for having me, and I appreciate you saying that I was helpful in helping people think through the implementation of AI and what it can do.
So much like a lot of technology, I think a really important place for us to start is, how would you define what artificial intelligence is, especially as it relates to computers and the internet and all that nomenclature stuff that goes with our artificial intelligence? How would you define it?
Well, I think the first thing that I would say is, some people take artificial intelligence and they almost define it as equaling ChatGPT, which is, and ChatGPT is one example of artificial intelligence. In that regard, it might be the same as, I remember years ago, we would say you're Xeroxing something instead of you're making a copy of it, right? There's a company named Xerox, they happen, and they made copies. So artificial intelligence is a very broad term, and it's not just ChatGPT, even though that is one of the most popular tools. It's a very broad term that includes anything that tries to replicate the way the human mind thinks and reacts to things using computers or other devices. I mean, it can be robotics too, to a certain degree, what the robot is working through and trying to replicate what a human being can do. So it's a machine's attempt to replicate what a human being can do artificially.
So let's use ChatGPT as an example. If I go into ChatGPT and I say, write me a 5-minute speech on the Gettysburg Address, what happens when I hit enter on that keyboard? We give people a sense of where it goes and what computers do and that, because seemingly instantaneously it spits out a 5-minute speech. Help our School Talks listeners understand what's happening in the background, so to speak, when you give it a prompt like that.
Oh, sure. So ChatGPT specifically is a larger language model-based text-based sort of tool. And so it's based on literally libraries full of information that it's absorbed, that it's scraped, it's taken in, whatever terminology you want to use, including information it gathered using the search engine Bing up until about 2023, give or take. And one of the reasons that it uses the search engine Bing is because ChatGPT has a relationship with Microsoft, and Microsoft's search tool of choice is Bing. But those libraries full of information plus the search engine Bing has been filled into ChatGPT to fill its informational sort of database, if you will, its informational background. And when you give it a command, when you ask it a prompt, as the term, when you give it a prompt and you ask it to produce something, what it's doing is it's looking at all of those libraries full of information and the scraping from the internet, and it's putting together a prediction of what it thinks would be logically come next in a sequence of words, or in this case, the sequence of the way it responds to you. It mixes in just a tiny bit of variance or randomness, so that if you ask it a question, the same question one day and the next day, you'll get slightly different answer, though it'll always be based on the facts that it knows. So it's very quickly sending out, doing a prediction of what comes next, and then returning that to you.
So you raise a really important point. If you ask ChatGPT the same question on two different occasions, what ChatGPT is looking for is, I guess, only going to change if the database is where this information has changed. Is that correct?
Yes and no. So if you go in and you ask it, what are the causes of the Civil War, or something more complex, how do natural resources of the area affect the success or failures of the North and the South? It will return to you, if you ask that at 10 a.m. in the morning today, and you ask it at 10:35 in the morning on the same day, the answers will fundamentally be the same, but they won't be verbatim the same. In other words, word for word, exactly the same, they will not be. It's slight phrasing, slight wording. All of the facts that it's based on, that it returns to you, are from its scraping and those artificial language models that it's absorbed. But it won't be word for word, which is one of the things that makes it to a certain degree, impossible to say that it's exactly plagiarized, because it's not word for word. Either time it returns to you the same, even though it's based on the same facts and basically the same sort of background piece. And it's not word for word from what it has taken from its resources. Its library is full of resources.
And to that end, are you aware of any copyright challenges that have come forward where someone takes something given to them through ChatGPT and then claims it as their own?
Well, there have been multiple companies, New York Times, for example, and others who have challenged whether or not the information that's put into ChatGPT has come from their resources, and how do you want to say, exact or matching it is to the resources that they had out there. So there's multiple lawsuits that have come up with wondering if it's been too close to home, too specific to the resources that it's based on. And I do know of multiple cases where, if we talk in the world of education, where students have been accused of using ChatGPT and just literally cutting and pasting it in to responses. And to be honest with you, even adult learners being accused of having responses that are completely generated with ChatGPT or other devices or other tools, and not edited, let's say, or formed or changed or drafted to reflect their own personal views, but just taken verbatim out of ChatGPT.
You know, you make me think about a situation that occurred to me probably a year ago, where I received an email from a colleague who I know very well personally. And the tone in the email that he sent me was not at all like his personality, right? It started with something, "Dear Robert," well, at first he calls me Bob, but, "Dear Robert, I hope this day finds you well." Nah, that doesn't make sense. And, you know, if you're in tune to it, you can really, really identify oftentimes what is sort of generated through these intelligences, as opposed to someone just sitting down at a keyboard. And on that note, in your work with the Michigan Association of School Administrators, the School Talks listeners, we're with Sean Bishop, who is the Associate Executive Director for the Association of School Administrators, which we know as MASA. But Sean, tell us about the kind of work that you have been doing through the association as it relates to artificial intelligence and its potential impact on education.
But my role for MASA is sort of organically started to have more and more pieces related to artificial intelligence. And that's not my sole role, but it's been, for the last year and a half, 2 years, such a demand that it has morphed into, sort of organically grown into, a lot of what I do. And there's many levels to it, but because we're relate to administrators, and more specifically, district level administrators, a lot of my work has been with district administrators, talking, and some building level administrators, some teachers, but mostly district administrators, talking with them about kind of in two ways. One is from a district level or a system level, what you need to be looking out for and being aware of related to artificial intelligence. So trying to make sure that we have everyone thinking about things like policy, plagiarism, and cheating, and things that we've just mentioned before are not excluded from that. Thinking 10,000 foot view about what you need to be aware of. And then there's been a large second piece, which goes hand in glove with that, and that is sort of like raising the floor of knowledge about what artificial intelligence includes with it and what tools are currently out there and what they can do. Sort of that raise the floor of awareness, because I think if you don't have that context around you, you're not as well off in being able to make the policies, to think through the processes, to think at the 10,000 foot view, if you don't know what those tools that are currently out there and are on horizon can do, you're moving around sort of making guidelines, trying to think through things blindly. So it's been raising awareness at the same time.
And, you know, that support of schools is so critically important right now. I can remember seeing you present for the first time and hearing people on break in the lobby at the conference center talking about at what point will the world be overtaken by robots, and just that your ability to make people think is extraordinary. And there's so much more to talk about, but I wanted to thank you so much for joining us on School Talks and giving us at least an opening sense of what artificial intelligence is. And I wish you a good school year and keep up the good work.
Thank you. I'd love to talk to you anytime about this topic or others, but this is an area that I'm very interested in and very excited to talk about, and hopefully share with people in a positive way about all the, you know, and not dwell on just the negatives, because I do think artificial intelligence is here and we have the opportunity to use it, to embrace it, and hopefully can do that with positivity.
Sean Bishop, thanks so much for joining us on School Talks, and have a great day.
Thank you.
Coming up after the break, we'll be joined by Chippewa Valley Schools Director of Technology, Sarah Monier-White, who will share with us a district-level perspective on artificial intelligence. You're listening to School Talks on 760 WJR.
School Talks on WJR with Dr. Robert Livernoy.
Joining us now on the program is Chippewa Valley Schools Director for Technology, Sarah Monier-White. Welcome to the program, Sarah.
Thank you, Dr. Livernoy.
So there used to be an old saying in Michigan that if you did not like the weather, just wait a minute and it will change. And I must say that that saying could really easily and appropriately be adapted to technology in our culture and, more importantly, in our schools. In fact, since the development of the personal computer and the World Wide Web in the 90s, all the way to Apple's iPhone in 2007, the rate at which technology has changed and continues to change is frankly mind-boggling. And among the latest technological advances, which frankly is an all-out buzzword, is artificial intelligence. What does it mean? So from your perspective in Chippewa Valley Schools, given this rapid expansion of AI with applications like ChatGPT and whatnot, what has your district done to respond?
Well, when ChatGPT was first released in November of 2022, we were really taken by surprise. As you mentioned, things change so quickly in the world of technology. We did not have policies or guidelines for our teachers or for our students. So like a lot of districts around the nation, we started by blocking those sites for our students. We weren't prepared to use them effectively in the classroom, and we really wanted to take time to figure out how to do that. So once we made that decision, we have a robust instructional technology staff. We've got a great crew of four who began to research, and they researched after ChatGPT, so many tools became available. So they researched not only the tools, but what would be best practice to use those tools to support students and support learning. So we spent almost a year just diving into that research and figuring out how we could guide our staff. In November of 23, we began training our teachers. So we're approaching a year of training. We've done three or four sessions for all our different teacher groups. And behind the scenes, we had a committee of administrators and teachers to develop those needed policies and guidelines. Mm-hmm. So that put us in a place where this fall, we felt ready, that our teachers felt confident to start to use AI with their students. And we felt like we had the pieces in place to move forward with it.
No, you bring up a good point. I can remember at one point when AI first developed, we had a robotics team in Warren Consolidated Schools that was attempting to access websites for the purposes of robotic competition, and they couldn't because we had them blocked. And it makes you appreciate how sometimes the children, which in many cases they have a commodity that adults don't, and that is time to play around with computers and do all kinds of things. And they're the ones early on, for many schools I know, that sort of pushed this train and forced schools to adapt. So on that note, how can AI be incorporated into a classroom instruction effectively? What are some ways?
There are really multiple ways you can use it. One way is teachers can use it behind the scenes to help with their own tasks. If teachers can use AI to effectively take over some of their automated tasks to find resources and support their lesson planning, they have more time to spend focusing on students and really diving into feedback and supporting students. Another way we've used AI or worked with our teachers to try to use AI is to use it. We use a phrase, use AI in front of your students. So AI has age restrictions. You really can't put a middle schooler on ChatGPT or Claude or Copilot if you're following their policies. So we recommend teachers use those tools. We have smart boards in every classroom. Display it. Work through an activity as a group. Role model for students not only how to create an effective prompt, but how to analyze the output, how to critically think about what the AI is giving you, and then that'll help students learn to use it independently.
Makes me appreciate years ago when students were faced with reading a novel. Many of them would run out, at least in my era, and find the Cliff's Notes.
Exactly.
Or I think there's Sparks Notes now and that. And I remember at that time, both as a student and then as a teacher, just how frowned upon those resources were. And in today's age, with the access to technology, well, I really like what you said about doing it in front of them so that you can teach them how to use it responsibly, as opposed to pretend like it's something bad. Because I've talked to quite a few educators who initially were resistant, but they realized that this train has left the station. You just mentioned Copilot, and I don't even know how many different sources there are nowadays. So on the learning front, how do you see AI being able to personalize learning for a particular student?
AI can support students with specific needs, but also can just be a study tool for students that maybe don't have any specific needs. So if you think about a student who doesn't speak English as a native language, AI is an instant translator. So we often find those students don't do well in class, not because they can't comprehend the content, but because the language is a barrier. Mm-hmm. So if we can use AI to translate instructions, and then if students can work in their native language and translate their work back to their teacher in English, we eliminate that barrier and we let them show their understanding of the content while they're still working to develop the language.
And again, another way of embracing it in front of them.
Exactly.
With us right now is Sarah Monier-White from Chippewa Valley Schools, Director of Technology. Staying in that lane, what do you see are some of the potential risks of using AI in education, whether is it a risk for teachers or for students, especially when you look at it from a traditional lens? What are some risks that you see?
Well, many educators, and you alluded to this a moment ago, they're worried about plagiarism. They're worried about students using these tools as a crutch to do their work for them instead of using them as a support that can make them better. So that's one risk, and educators are nervous about that, and we're working to train them to change how they do their assignments and mitigate that risk. But other risks are data and privacy. AI tools work off what's called a large language model. They grow their database and learn from that. So when students input work, that becomes part of the large language model. So we've worked with our teachers to be very conscious of what they put into AI. You can't input personal information for yourself or students. That becomes part of the database, and that's really a violation of data and privacy. Bias is another risk. We know AI is pulling from the internet, and we know there's bias out there, so that bias becomes part of what AI gives you. It's only as good as the research and the database it has. So there were instances, there was a study done where a group used an AI image generator and asked it to create images of people in different careers. Show me a doctor, show me an engineer, show me a cashier. They did this thousands of times, and then they analyzed the output. And what that study found was for careers with higher pay, engineers, judges, lawyers, significantly larger amounts of the output were lighter-skinned males. And when you went to cashiers or clerks, the output, those images, were larger part females and darker skinned individuals. It's reflecting the bias in its database. It's not the fault of the AI, but you have to be cognizant of that, and you have to teach your students about that so they can be cognizant of it.
Talk about just another way to teach children how to question what they're reading, hearing, and listening, especially in this day and age of misinformation. So, so if I'm a student in Chippewa Valley Schools, what skills do you think I need to thrive in a world that's now arguably either now or will be dominated by AI?
Well, you need to be a problem solver. Our students need to be flexible and adaptable. The World Economic Forum in the last year has predicted that in just the next 2 years, about 85 million jobs will be lost to AI, but we're going to gain 97 million more. There'll be prompt writers, there'll be people to build the AI tools, but they're careers we don't even know about yet. So it's really hard to prepare students for something we don't know what it looks like. So those skills of being critical thinkers and problem solvers is what's going to make them successful in the long run.
So much to talk about. Well, that's all the time we have for today, but I am sure that by the time we return from this commercial break, technology will have likely changed somewhere and in some way, but your efforts in Chippewa Valley will be at the forefront of this revolution. After a word from our sponsors, we'll be joined by social studies teacher John Horton from Bentley High School, which is about 5 miles north of Grand Blanc in beautiful Burton, Michigan. You're listening to School Talks on 760 WJR.
School Talks on WJR is sponsored by Wakely Associates, Point Moran Real Point, Collins & Blaha, O'Reilly Rancilio PC Attorneys at Law, and by Clark Construction. Now let's get back to class. Once again, your host, former Superintendent Dr. Robert Livernoy.
Joining us now on the program is John Horton, a social studies teacher from Bentley High School, and arguably one who is right in the middle of this AI revolution in schools. Welcome to the program, John.
Thanks for having me.
So we've been talking all throughout this broadcast about how artificial intelligence is affecting schools and providing teachers with tools and all of the technology enhancement that comes with it. And I do know from a teacher's perspective, it's really difficult sometimes to stay ahead of students because they have the one gift that we don't, and that is time.
Right.
And in your role as a social studies teacher, I'd like to hear you share with us a little bit about ways that you have started to use AI and what you're experiencing with students in the classroom, especially from how it can be used to create content and things like that. So tell us a little bit about that.
I really broke it down into two ways I was approaching it. One was on the back end, which I thought would save me time. So how can I use AI to help me with things like lesson planning, things like structuring my lessons, activities that I could do on the backside. And on the front end was how can I use this with the kids? So I approached it with two different mindsets in that way. And one of the things that right away, why I jumped into AI pretty much feet first was it was last school year, and right before the school year began, we had a teacher exit our district, and I was asked to take on some new classes that I had never taught before. They did not have any real instructional materials. It was basically like, here's these classes, do the best with them that you can. And I immediately gravitated towards, all right, AI, come save me from this. You know, I keep hearing all these wonderful things that it's going to do, and it worked pretty well for a while. As far as content generation, one of the first things I did, I didn't have any textbooks, so I looked into some AI that could generate content as far as like Google Slides or lesson plans and things of that nature. And I also, I spent a little bit of money. I spent $200. I'm like, all right, I bought this stuff. Let me try it out. Let me see what it can do for me. And I used it for a couple weeks, and it was pretty good. But what I did start to realize was that, you know what, this isn't going to be a magic bullet for me. A lot of it was really first drafts or rough drafts of ideas. And so I had to kind of change my own, you know, my own angle on what AI was going to do for me and see it for what it really was at that time. It was still brand new. It wasn't going to be a magic bullet, but it was going to help me formulate some ideas for these classes and to help streamline my practice going into that school year.
Yeah, and you mentioned your first foray into this was in these courses that you were asked to teach.
Right.
And with the current courses you're teaching, you had mentioned, I think, Google Chrome has an add-on that serves sort of an AI purpose. I believe it's called Brisk.
Yeah, Brisk. So RISD, they came and they did a training about this AI tool called Brisk. And basically, it's a Google add-on that sits on your desktop. And it's actually really neat. This is one of the ones, and I we didn't start using this till I think the tail end of last year. But the idea is that if, as a teacher, if I'm looking to create a lesson, I come across an article I like, I come across a YouTube video that I think would be useful. This AI tool has a whole suite of things that it can do that can say, you know, it could look at a YouTube video and it could generate depth of knowledge questions based on that YouTube video. It could give you a written summary of it. It could break it down to different reading levels. You could create a multiple choice worksheet, something along those lines. You're able to just generate some really powerful and useful resources quickly.
For those who are afraid of artificial intelligence, it makes me appreciate the whole language machine model stuff of, will there be a day where the AI says, see me after class, right? Tell us a little bit how you have experimented and used AI in your lesson planning.
I would say one of the most interesting things I did was at the tail end of last year, which was in my AP World History class. We had just wrapped a unit, and I'm like, man, how do I kind of, you know, punch this thing and get it across the finish line? And the unit was on essentially the late 1800s in Europe, the scramble for Africa, and all my history teachers will know where I'm going here, but there was a man by the name of King Leopold II, who was king of Belgium, and he's by, and I mean, my biased opinion, but maybe not so biased, he was a bad dude, like he was a bad guy, and we had done a whole series of lessons, we're wrapping this up, and I thought, you know what, let me, and I can't remember if I picked it up from a training or where it was, but I asked the AI, I said, hey, Google Gemini. I said, Gemini, can we talk as if you're King Leopold II of Belgium? And immediately the AI goes, hello, my subject. You know, and it goes into this whole regal attitude and role. And I'm like, okay, this is, we're getting somewhere here. It was, that was one of my favorite experiences of seeing, oh, this could be really neat.
Yeah, I'll tell you, from a teacher in the trenches, you've given us an incredibly honest and candid view of what AI is for a classroom teacher, because AI is becoming a term that is all-encompassing of many, many different parts of technology. And I appreciate your candor today. With us has been John Horton from Bentley High School up in wonderful Burton, Michigan. I want to thank you for joining us on the program today.
All right. Thank you for having me.
I'd like to thank Dr. Sean Bishop, Sarah Monier-White, and John Horton for their insight, experience, and perspective on artificial intelligence. We'll leave it there until next week, but remember, there are two ways to spell one and three ways to spell two. Till next time, this has been School Talks on 760 WJR.